If you have your Bibles, be turning to Proverbs 18. We're going to start there in just a second. Proverbs chapter 18. Appreciate the songs that Roy led as they all, in one way or the other, spoke of words, wonderful words of life. Never underestimate the power of words, what they can accomplish, what they can do. Words have started wars and have ended them. Words can create love and choke it. Words can bring laughter. Words can bring joy. And words can bring tears. Words can motivate men and women to risk their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honors. As one writer put it, the world revolves around the power of words. I think we'd be hard-pressed to disagree with that. What do you think? The wise man certainly understood it, and so in Proverbs 18:21, the first half of it, we read this statement and think about it, reflect on it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We might put it this way. Death and life are in words spoken. There's an ancient Asian proverb, the tongue is a member but 3 inches long but can slay a man 6 feet high. Words are powerful. But when we think of our words, yes, they wield a lot of power, but they pale in comparison to the Word of God. Both the Word of God, the second person of the Godhead, and the written Word of God, the Scriptures themselves. Now, this is the first Sunday in our One Word program where we passed these books out to those who wanted them, and there were 5 assignments for reading with various passages of Scripture to consider. There are 53 words in this, so 53 sections with 5 devotional articles for each word. And if you were able to read this past week, then you were introduced to certain concepts, weren't you? The word of power. Psalm 33. We'll say more about that later. That God, through His Word, brought into existence all things. The Word of Revelation. God has revealed Himself to us through His Word. How has God revealed Himself? Through creation, through His mighty deeds, through inspired men, through His Son, through Scripture, the revealed Word. If you were able to go through the book this past week, then you're introduced to the concept of the Word of Life. If you believe the Word of Jesus, you pass from death to life. John 5:21-24. You were introduced to the Word of Judgment. The Word which Jesus spoke, the same will judge us in the last day. Again, 12 and verse 48. You were introduced to the Word of Victory. Revelation 12, verses 10-12. How did these beleaguered saints mentioned in the book of Revelation, how did they overcome? How did they find victory? Through the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. And so, 5 concepts as it pertains to the Word, 5 articles, if you had opportunity, you read them, and hopefully that's placed us all in a position to study together. If you're thinking, I didn't read the articles and I don't have the book, we can remedy that. We can provide you a book. And although we're not going to mention again what we're going to talk about this morning, next week we will start with the next word, which is creation. But if you missed it this week, there are 53 words, you've got 52 more chances. Surely you can hit it on one of those. So if you'd like a book, see me or one of the elders. If you didn't get to read this week, again, you've got, God willing, a number of other opportunities to get involved with the program. And so, the very first term out of the chute is word. Word. Let's think about the power of the word in creation. Because next week is creation. Let's think about the power of the word in creation. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Great Hall of Faith section. Heroes of faith. Of whom the world was not worthy. Those who sought a heavenly country. Those who faced great persecution. But yet, despite it all, did not waver. The great patriarchs. The great saints of the Old Testament. So many of them are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And probably Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 is one of the more well-known statements in Hebrews, in the New Testament, that people know. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it or by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, let's clue in. Let's notice in particular Hebrews 11 and verse 3. We're thinking about the term word, and let's think about the word and the power of creation. Let's think about what the Hebrews writer says here in verse 3. He says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed. In other words, the Hebrews writer is saying that everything we know and experience and see around us, the created order, came about by the Word of God. Now, if we're familiar with the Bible, we know, or at least probably our minds rush back to the very first book in Scripture, back to Genesis chapter 1. At least it does for me. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. All that we know came into existence by God's Word. What does Genesis 1 in verse 1 tell us? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe in the power of the Word of God and the creation of all things because we believe the evidence points in that direction. In other words, we don't simply believe that all that we know and experience, the created order, is reality because of God, simply because that's what we want to believe. But we look at what's around us. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork, right? We see the fine-tuning. We see the precision. We see all that there is, and we're taken aback. And we think the only explanation to what is not cosmic happenstance, but rather a intelligent, proper pronunciation, creator. Creator. That's our conclusion based on the evidence. Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. What's Paul saying? There's no excuse for not believing in God. All you have to do is look around. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We believe in the power of the Word of God and the creation of all things because the evidence points us in that direction. Now, I'll admit, I come to that with my own bias. I want to believe that God is. I'll tell you that right up front. Because of the emptiness and the valueless nature of life if He doesn't. So I come with a bias, I'll tell you. But still, the evidence is overwhelming that what is came from something and not from nothing. Imagine for a moment you have a front row seat to that moment in Genesis 1 when God created the world. Have you ever been lying in bed at night and thought about, at one point there was nothing, and then there was a beginning, and then there was something, and what happened? You know, scientists talk about all kinds of things, about the Big Bang, and so forth and so on. Here's what I know, thinking about Genesis chapter 1. You're on the front row, what do you see? Chaos. Darkness. I wonder how thick the darkness was. Remember the plague of darkness in Exodus 7 through 11? It was palpable. It was almost something you could feel. It was unlike what we typically would think. Darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God is hovering. God is about to go to work. Then God said, what do you think it sounded like when all of the various elements began to take shape and form? Again, I have no idea. I'm just trying to think about the power that was involved. All of us have seen the mushroom cloud that was over Hiroshima or Nagasaki, and we know how deadly that blast was and how powerful it was. But that is nothing in comparison to what must have transpired when all things came into being, particularly our universe. I wonder how loud it must have been. Think of a construction site in general. How loud are they? With the riveting and the hammering and all of the noise, God spoke. Front row, what do you see? Out of the darkness, a light so bright and so magnificent begins to flood everything. Then God said, let there be light. When you think about the wonders around us, when you think about the beauty in creation, when you think about the enormity of our universe, thousands upon thousands of stars clustered together in galaxies and millions of galaxies within the universe itself, and we're so very tiny. And with a word, the uncaused first cause brought everything into existence. Every house is built by someone, but he who built all things, he who built everything, is God. That makes more sense than anything else you can possibly set on the table. But how did it all come about? I can wrap my mind around what exactly is meant, but God said, let there be light. Psalm 33 was one of the passages to be read. I think it was maybe even the first week. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The power of the Word of God in creation. If God can create what He did with a word, and we think about, again, the enormity of the universe and how small we really are, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. Aren't you thankful that He's love? 1 John 4 and verse 8. Power of God in creation. We do ourselves a favor when we choose to reflect upon that regularly. Word. Let's talk about the power of the Word who came into the world. The power of the Word who came into the world. We talk about the power of God to create the world with His Word, but let's talk about the Word coming into the world. Okay, wait a minute. What are we talking about? Look at John chapter 1. Let's look at John chapter 1. Great prologue of John. Not the epilogue at the end, John 21, but the prologue at the beginning, first 18 verses. We know this passage, right? Or at least most of us do if we've read our New Testaments much. In the beginning was the Logos, or Logos, depending on your Greek teacher. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Notice this statement. All things, remember what we were talking about earlier? Then God said, all things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. There's a statement in the epistles later on, speaking of this Word, where Paul says, for by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Who is this Word who was in the beginning with God and through whom God created all things? Verse 14 begins to unfold the matter for us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Word takes on humanity. This One who was with God from the beginning clothes Himself in human flesh, becomes like we are. Who is this Word who was there in the beginning through whom all things were made? What about verse 18? No one or no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He's made Him known. He's declared Him. Wait a minute. This One who is with God now, if you want to see God, you look at Him. Who is this Word? John 1:29. Same context. Jesus makes His way through the crowd and John says, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Who is the Word who was with God from the beginning, like a master craftsman? The wisdom of God, the mind of God, the Word of God, the message of God, through whom He created all things. Who is it? It's Jesus the Christ. A baby was born in Bethlehem. That's true. Read the birth accounts in Matthew and Luke. But the One who was born in Bethlehem, Micah said, His goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And so when we study the life of Jesus, what do we see Him doing? Remember what we talked about last week? You're thinking, I don't even remember last week. When the Word of God, Jesus, spoke His Word, how powerful was it? The demons hushed and obeyed. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. The winds and the seas obeyed Him. Mark chapter 4, verses 41 to 45. Death released its grip on anyone He said to it, let go, Jairus' daughter. Ears were open and tongues were loosed. He has done all things well, Mark chapter 7. Even a fig tree, when Jesus said, produce no more, withered and died. John 11, Lazarus, come forth. And out of the grave He came. Loose Him and let Him go. When you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to have seen Jesus was to have seen the Father, because He represents the divine nature, the triune God. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been in the presence of Jesus Himself, to have witnessed His mighty deeds and wonders, to hear His Word spoken, which changed the lives of so many? When Jesus spoke, people surrendered everything. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, follow Me. And they left their nets and followed Him. Word. We've talked about the Word of God in creation. We've talked about the Word of God, Jesus, and the power of His Word while He was on earth and the power of His deeds. Let's shift for a moment now into the written Word. How has God revealed Himself? He has through the created order. He does so and has through His mighty deeds. Through inspired men, prophets in the Old Testament. But now He speaks to us through His Son, And His Son, of course, has sent His Spirit, who inspired certain men, who then wrote down Jesus' will for us. And within the confines of Scripture, both Old and New Testament, we have the Word of God. The New Testament, we have the guide for our lives. This Bible I have in my hand is made of, it's supposed to be genuine leather. It feels a little like bonded to me, but I'm sort of an expert in these kind of things. I can usually smell and know. It has paper and ink. And if I set it up here on this Lord's Supper table and walk away and nobody ever opens it, it doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't help a soul. It's left as if it had no potency whatsoever. But here's the thing. How powerful is the written word? We turn to Philippians 1 as we do this. The Bible teaches that if you'll plug into this thing and believe it and obey it through application and trust in the one who authored it, a power will be unleashed in your life. I'm assuming in an assembly like this, numbers-wise, the likelihood is there's some folks, maybe more than we'd like to admit, and certainly more, if there's one, it's too many. You're unhappy with life. You're not satisfied. You're still searching. You're afraid. You're fearful. You're worried. And you're wondering, when will I find what I need so I don't have to experience that anymore? And oftentimes you'll salve yourself with whatever the world offers for just a moment of relief, right? So you can get away from what you know to be so. How powerful is the Word of God to provide what you need? This book, if believed and applied, produces faith. How important is faith? Faith then comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How important is faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I need faith to please God, and there's nothing more important than that. And that faith is produced through my continual reflection upon this, taking it in, hiding it in my heart, making application of it in my life as I trust again the one who authored it. Produces faith. The Scriptures testify to themselves that this Word, if believed and applied, can save my soul because it's faith that saves. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted or the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. This Word can produce faith. This Word can save your soul. As we sang earlier, it serves as the perfect guide for life. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a guide or light to my path. This Word is likened to a sword which can pierce the soul. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll show you who you really are and how you can become everything you ought to be. This Word says, testifies of itself, that it can complete you or perfect you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Everything you ought to be in this life, this Word provides it. Because this Word ties you to the Word. Okay? Let's think about Jesus at the beginning. He's there, triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, creation. What happens? From disorder comes order. From chaos comes order. From nothing comes life. Who was there? God. Who was there? The Word, Jesus. What's He still doing today? He can take your life, and from chaos and disorder, He can bring order. He can create something in you that's brand new. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Jesus is in the creation business. If we allow Him access. If we cooperate. Look at Philippians 1:6. Paul writes his Philippian brethren. Verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, he says to these Philippian Christians, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He says to the Philippians, the Lord has begun what in you? A work. He started something in you. The creation process, new creature, has begun. And Paul says, I am confident that he'll complete it. Through time, through experience, providentially, you're tied to his word. He'll make you everything he wants you to be, and ultimately Jesus will come again and complete you thoroughly and usher you into glory. But again, what's the process of this good work being completed? I have to choose to allow my life to align with the written word of God. I have to choose every day that, you know, this is how I'm going to live my life. This is what's going to guide me. By God's grace and mercy, there's hope. Look at Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, and we're done. He says to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work and he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about the process. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, that's my role in choosing to work out, to pursue the will of God as it's been revealed to me through this powerful word. To, like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, to choose to not simply be what I've always been, they were fishermen, but to be what God wants me to be, they chose to follow Jesus, they became fishers of men. But there's a process involved. I work out, and what's the promise of verse 13? For it's God who works in you, both the willing to do for his good pleasure. He'll complete in you. He'll create in you what he starts. How? What's tied to it? What's involved in the process? The Word of God, who will transform you through his written word, the powerful gospel of Jesus. Word. Our words are powerful, but they're nothing in comparison to God's word. The word of a man can startle the world. The word of God can create it. If you've never obeyed the truth, if you've never become a Christian, that process of creation hasn't started in your life. If you're willing to come to Jesus in penitent faith, confessing him, we'll baptize you into him for the remission of your sins. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life. What a wonderful day it will be. And the word then will dwell in you richly. And the creation process will start. And the word of God, through that